Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everybody and welcome back to Rule the Roost podcast, your second podcast this week. Aren't you also very, very lucky? You're luckier even still, as today on the show we have the artist formerly known as Single Malt Suds, Phil. How are you doing, mate? Welcome back. Thanks for coming on last minute.
Not at all. I'm doing completely fine, to be honest.
Are you actually?
Completely fine. I actually am, yeah. Well, football-wise, yeah. Let's shelve the rest of the... football wise, yeah, we'll talk about football, aren't we? Yeah. No, everything's rosy, mate. Everything is completely fine. I'm relaxed.
Were you
hydrated? Yeah.
Prior to the North London derby, like whether we beat them or not, were you be honest? Did you think we'd be in this position, or did you think we might beat them and that'll be our little two fingers up? But they'll probably beat Newcastle and Everton, because that's where I was. If I'm brutally honest.
I sort of compartmentalized it, but after that, when they beat Leeds, although again that wasn't a great performance, and if I was an Arsenal fan, God forbid, I wouldn't have been sort of confident about like seeing it off or anything. But you know, for me, I was just thinking I'm just going to enjoy the North London derby as an event and not really sort of think beyond that. Obviously, not wanting them to secure Champions League at our place. But to be honest, I didn't think they were. I didn't think that they were going to be up to much at all against us, regardless of what they did after that. So I was wildly confident about that game. So I didn't really kind of think beyond it pre-North London derby. I guess I kind of written it off after the Leeds game anyway, when they played Leeds, which again isn't a great benchmark for a team because Leeds are absolutely terrible, but then still managed to kind of give them a run for their money, didn't they? So I was very much taking it one game at a time.
It feels like, I don't want to speak too soon, but you know, I don't think what I'm about to say really has an overall bearing on the outcome of the game, because if we don't make Champions League from here, it's on us, it's our fault. But it does feel like when you look at kind of like the last week or so, that Arsenal just kind of peaked at just the wrong time, really. Those kind of, I can imagine the emotional upheaval and just physical upheaval to get it over the line against, I mean, Chelsea probably not, because they were fucking awful in that game. But yeah. United as well. United was a bit of a battle, I feel like, between those two. And it always sort of has been. You know, and sort of in a way that I guess if Spurs had stayed good, it might have become between Spurs and Liverpool, how it was sort of developing for a bit, wasn't it? A bit of a rivalry between us, but we just tailed off too much. And maybe it'll come back now that we're getting better again. They were particularly rankled by us daring to get a point at Anfield. Mm-hmm. But yeah, with Arsenal, it just seems like I say, they sort of peaked at just the wrong time. And you know, thankfully, we've managed to pounce on that. I have something that, I guess, I don't want to say sympathy, but I would say an understanding of the fact that I find it funny, basically, that Arsenal ran into both Tottenham and Newcastle, two of the most sort of, let's be honest, on their day, fervent supporters in the country in their second to last for Tottenham, but last home game of the season for Newcastle as well, with all the kind of tifos and the pomp and splendour of all that sort of thing. That they just, yeah. I mean, a young, inexperienced team like that, it has kind of wilted under that pressure. But I don't want to spend all day talking about Arsenal, because you know, whatever happens now, it's on us. And now I know there is the old, because we've been talking about this on WhatsApp, right? And obviously, the narrative at this point in time is you're not Tottenham unless you are catastrophizing about whatever's happened, you know, whatever big event is coming up next. But it does, it feels all too perfectly aligned at the moment for this to be the universe delivering us perhaps the most catastrophic Tottenham kind of failure in history. I mean, just, but you're not buying it, right? You're not buying it. You think we got more than enough to get it over the line, right? Because we should do, right? We should batter this Norwich team. They're pitiful.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, don't get me wrong. As soon as the second goal went in against Newcastle, for Newcastle against Arsenal, I did get a sort of like a minor pang of, or a realization is like, oh wait, hang on, now we have to actually do something. Like the onus is on us. But that was the long and short of it. Like, if we talk about universal energy and all this sort of thing, which I don't buy into anyway, or like, you know, jinxing and all this sort of stuff, I know it's a bit of fun and games a lot of the time, but if we're talking about that, then us even thinking about messing up against Norwich is some sort of manifestation. And, you know, we talk about how well Spurs fans supported the team during the North London, which we would anyway, but, you know, there was a particular acknowledgement of it making, if not a big difference, then certainly, you know, partly helping us along and certainly affecting Arsenal's players, then I do think that we have to kind of get rid of this, you know, as you say. And, you know, I understand it because I'm exactly the same, but I'm just saying that as a fan base, I think we do have to kind of get over that idea of you're not Tottenham unless you're, you know, it's only when we score our fifth in the 75th minute against Norwich that I can relax. You know, I do get it because we've experienced some horrific and ridiculous kind of turnarounds. But I'm also like, this is Norwich, mate. And they are, by their own account as well, if you read their own fans' comments about their season and this game particularly, they are terrible. And it doesn't really matter if they're terrible or not. We're Tottenham Hotspur. We're on a really good run at the moment. We're actually a really good team. And actually, no, we're not Tottenham Hotspur. Ignore that. We are a good football team. And we have more than enough to beat a team who are already relegated. I know there's the massive parallel with the Newcastle 5-1 game. But also, we didn't really have anything to play for it in that 5-1 Newcastle game. As much as, you know, we ended up finishing below Arsenal, we'd still qualify for the Champions League that season. So this is different, and you know, it is Conte's teams and set up and approach are so much different to Pochettino's. That's not to kind of, you know, pour scorn on Pochettino's way, but his way was a very sort of emotionally charged approach to things, and you know, cojones, leave it all on the pitch and all about heart and passion and everything like that. Conte's is a bit more structured and a bit more, well, no, I mean, this team is worse than us and this is how we beat them. So, you know, that's partly why I've got complete faith that we're going to do it. And even still, I don't think Arsenal were going to beat Everton either. But again, those are ramifications that I don't think are going to matter. But yeah, I mean, this idea of spending all of this week sort of worrying about whether or not Norwich are going to beat us, bottom of the table, Norwich are going to beat us, doesn't help anyone. It certainly doesn't help us as fans just kind of look forward to actually, you know, firstly, this season ending because it's been ridiculous, but also just actually, you know, finishing in the top four, finishing above Arsenal, and then that being an excellent season.
I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable that we're in this position, right? When you think, because I was so just disengaged the start of it, the time under Nuno and everything like that, I just, you couldn't buy into that, you know. I was just you were just waiting for the next thing to happen. You're like, well, okay, so we're writing off 2 years here, are we, under Nuno? Like, just, do you know what I mean? Because we weren't going to do anything under him, were we? And everybody, you could see that.
No,
you could see that almost instantly. Players weren't responding to him. You know, you feel like some of the sort of snippets coming out of the media and stuff like that weren't particularly favourable of him. I mean, I know people want to sort of adopt this whole, oh, you know, don't want to be horrible about him. He inherited a tough job and all that. But I'm like, did he though really? Like, was it that tough a job that, you know, he had to be so sort of snarly and kind of whatever in every sort of press conference? It's the same shit with Mourinho, you know. I get it. Right, okay, it was probably a bit difficult coming after Pochettino, but that team was still fucking amazing, you know. But I don't know. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I understand that there were certain things between him and Paratici and whatever, and it's a side point. It doesn't really matter anymore because it honestly feels like it was about three seasons ago. Do you know what I mean? Like the whole Bruno stuff.
Really does.
It's bizarre.
And you make a good point there that, you know, towards the end of his reign, I think we all knew that it was going to end very quickly. But about a month before that, when we were just a bit bad and we couldn't really, you know, we weren't getting battered, but we weren't really sort of winning games. It all just felt a bit like this is bad news because we are slipping. We're going to slip behind. You know, the idea that Newcastle were going to be the richest club in the world next season, all this sort of thing. It felt really kind of like we've picked the wrong manager at the wrong time.
It was a bit doomsday, wasn't it?
It was, and I don't think that was being particularly dramatic as well, because if you look at how this season has now ended, you look at Man United, you look at Arsenal, especially Arsenal, where them not finishing in the top four this season at the expense of us, you know, if it was Man United, then that's one thing and probably the same sort of thing. But us finishing above them and finishing the top four is terrible news for them as a club over the next 5 years. You know, they're now stuck in the trap of the Europa League. And it's us, their rivals, not just in kind of locality, but also in the pecking order at the moment. We've leapfrogged them. So it just speaks to what that was looking like. It was going to be our destiny under Nuno, that we just, like, as you say, pick the wrong manager. We're just going to write off 2 years, and in those 2 years, all these things are going to happen. That's going to make the next years after that, when we try and claw our way back, when we get a decent manager, when we get, you know, this rebuild completed, it's going to be even more of a closed shop. So, yeah. Just go back to that Man United game. Such a sliding doors moment with it. It's unreal.
It's just funny, isn't it? Like, with Arsenal and with United, obviously they're two teams with huge histories, you know, far more glittering than our own and everything. But in a certain way, it sort of feels like Tottenham are just more relevant now than either of them. You know, there's just something a bit dusty about both of those teams. It's just I don't know. I can't quite put it into words, but it just feels like they feel like the lad who was really good at secondary school, who's now in his 40s and still clinging on to it. Do you know what I mean?
Like, and you see him and he's like bald or something.
Yeah, he's bald and he'll still try and, you know, the lad he used to bully at school is like really successful and doing really well for himself, but he'll still try and like cut him down a bit or something if he ever sees him. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? But it's just
exactly.
I don't know, there's something about it, but I definitely know what you're saying about, because I think the biggest thing for me on this, right, and this is, you know, why I just sort of wanted to get this out. And I'm not doing this as in some exercise to be like negative or anything. I'm just working out all of the different sort of thoughts and feelings that I'm having at the moment about this game. Because it's, to me, you know, probably ever since, it was only a couple of seasons ago, but since the Champions League final, which, to be honest, was a bit of an aberration in itself.
Definitely, yeah.
We're sort of talking, I mean, maybe more back to kind of the end of 16-17, shall we say, when it was going into that Wembley season and everything. This again feels like it's a really pivotal point, in my opinion, in Tottenham's history. And there's something to me, I'm kind of looking at these paths now that we're on, as in, like, one side of me wants to say, you're too emotionally kind of charged about this, even if from here we finish fifth. Considering how the season started, fifth place is good. Yes, it's horrible to finish beneath Arsenal, but we're on a positive trajectory, blah, 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 blah. But the only thing I say back to that is, like, the position that we're in now, the kind of the optics and the feel around this whole thing that, again, with Champions League, if we fought this hard to get to this position and we somehow lose to Norwich and, you know, Arsenal, whatever, they beat Everton, which you'd imagine they probably will. Basically, if we don't get Champions League from this point, I can't help but feel that Conte might walk. And I really sort of do feel that. And because to me, it's kind of like this now. This is last chance saloon in that we get into the Champions League. Obviously, he's staying. I'm sure the contract extension comes. We spend a shitload of money this summer. If we don't get into the Champions League, there's that bit of me that thinks like, not because we haven't made the Champions League because we had no right to at the start of the season. It's more from to get to this position and for it to be kind of fail. I'm just not sure. He's an emotional guy, right?
Yeah.
And I worry that might just like spin his nut a bit too much. You know, that he's just going to be like, I cannot rely on these lot. I don't want this. I don't want like the stench of this like Spursy, this kind thing on me. And so I really do think, because to me it's like, you know, from this position, we should get Champions League. And in the back of my head, like heart and head, I think we should. We just went to fucking Anfield the other week, right? And we put on that, what I would say is a close to masterclass at Anfield of how to play against Liverpool.
It was almost a perfect game, wasn't it, in the context.
So if we go and do the job that we should do, like you say, that's true. Conte is hammering in this like professional approach to these players. We should get the job done. This is what I think we're looking at. We're going into the Champions League and the chance that we sign a Dybala on a free, Alessandro Bastoni that we've been linked to, you know, John McGinn, but it's not quite on that.
He's linked with John McGinn?
Yeah. He's a decent player, but to me,
Conte wants it. Conte gets it, mate.
Conte wanted Danny Drinkwater, though, mate. That's all. But still, I mean, it's big, right?
Yeah. It definitely is, and I think as much as you know what I said before about the sort of pearl clutching that we all do, and it kind of bleeds into actually being a negative force for the club. Just looking at it rationally, I think you're right. I think that if we blow it, it's not if we don't get Champions League, if we don't beat Norwich at home to get Champions, or if we lose to Norwich away to get dumped out of the top four places, that does feel like Conte fuel to absolutely, you know, explode and leave. And I think for those reasons that you say, that that's very much a, yeah, actually, nah, I ain't doing this. They've just cost me $2.5 million, you know, if you believe what you read in the papers, that's what he's in line for, a bonus if they get top four. I think that all these, not to say he's a mercenary, but, you know, all these things are going to just be like, yeah, nah, I don't fancy this. Even if, you know, Levy could promise the transfer fund, I still think he'd be like, nah, not for me. There's something about this club that I'm just not, as you say, I'm going to wash my hands of it before I get the stench on me even more.
Like looking past this, right? If we do this, if we get, you know, we finish top four, we get kind of a few players in summer. I mean, where do you view this project going, mate? Because is the sky the limit as far as you're concerned? Are Liverpool and City too good, or you know, is this Tottenham team proper? Is it real? Do you think?
Well, I mean, I was going to say yes to Liverpool and City being too good, but neither of them beat us last season or this season. So that suggests that the problem isn't, you know, 11v11. It's just the kind of it's the moments of concentration in the, and you know, again, we don't have a full evidence base because this season has been so fragmented that we don't know what a Conte team would be able to do throughout the season. We've seen what it might be able to do, you know, given the half of the season that he's had, and even then the start of it was still a bit clunky, and there's been patches where it's been awful. But why not? I mean, why not? Why can't we sort of challenge? I mean, Liverpool and Klopp in particular are such a, as you said before, like an aberration to things, because he's doing things that I don't think any sort of manager has really done. Even Ferguson would do this kind of big refresh.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Every season or so, you know, boot out a big name player just to keep everyone on their toes. Klopp doesn't even seem to need to do that. He just still manages to get them going. Will that run out at some point? I guess it could, but I've been thinking that for the last three seasons and it hasn't been the case. So point is, I think we're in a good place, and there's no reason next season why we can't be sort of in the top three conversation, whether that means that, you know, we're going to be, it could be a three-way title race. I don't know. I'd probably say no, not yet, but I don't think we're that far away from just having a really good squad, because I think that's been the difference. Our squad, you know, our first 11 has been good and showed that it could work well under Conte's system, but it's just when we've needed to kind of change the game or whatever, clearly our squad isn't up to the other teams in the top fours. So that's where the problem lies. So that's, you know, if we're talking about the money we're going to spend, yeah, you know, it'd be good to get some sort of big name or, you know, quality players in. But I think the bigger problem with our squad is the kind of the bench players and they're kind of having the different options to bring off it rather than just kind of like fake. So with that being all said, yeah, I think that we could be on the cusp of something big, but that's you can't ignore that what other clubs are going to do. I don't think United are going to be suddenly this kind of force. I still think they're going to be too bogged down in their, you know, this is Man United, which is what Arsenal have suddenly tarred themselves with as well. You know, their invincible stuff and whatever, which, like, you know, 20 years ago or whatever, doesn't help them. And, you know, going back to your point about us, not that I can speak for neutral fans, but it seems like we are not tainted with that. We're not bogged down. Oh yeah, we have our Spursy stuff, but we're not bogged down with this idea that we should be something, you know, and that we're failing to reach it. If anything, we're sort of overachieving. So we're not weighed down by the things that other clubs have. Newcastle, I mean, I don't really know about the financial fair play stuff, but they, I don't think it'll be next season where they're suddenly kind of knocking on the door of the title, if not the top four. So, yeah, I think we're well placed. I think we're certainly well placed to again sort of finish top four and maybe go on to kind of win a cup. It just depends again what Chelsea are kind of going to be doing, because they're one of the sort of big teams in our way for domestic trophies, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And if they're starting to rock with the way that their kind of takeover goes and losing a bunch of players, then hopefully that opens a bit of.
I mean, you'd think he's not going to put Abramovich money in, is he? This Ted Bowen?
No, not at all.
It'd be more like I sort of see him becoming more like a Man United type team. Do you know what I mean? Like, they'll still kind of want to cling on to their prestige, if you like, by probably like these random glamour hires and stuff like that. But I just don't. I can't see the. I don't know. I'm basing this on very little, to be honest. Probably a slightly anti-Americans in football sentiment. But I just, yeah, I don't know. Because I agree with you, and can't they just fuck off? You know, Chelsea now, like, they've had their fun. Just go away now. Like, just get out of the way.
Well, Well, as you said, they're not going to have Abramovich money, and Abramovich money is why they've been such a pain in our ass for the last, whatever it is, two decades.
I do. I mean, the other thing, I seem to be sort of pretty much, you know, oh, I'm so edgy. I just mean I'm pretty much one of the only people that seems to feel, though, that like there's something about like Liverpool that it's less permanent. I don't see this as like, it's, yeah, they're doing really well with Klopp, obviously. I mean, that's an understatement. They're doing fantastically well with Klopp, and like this squad that they have just seems to never dwindle. But I don't see them as this like permanent, unflappable force at the top of the league. I think they're kind of like a club that's managed to extend their Pochettino era, if you like, into being much better. But, you know, ultimately the foundation of it, it's not the same as City or Chelsea. No.
I mean, they'll do what they usually do. Do that, you know, they have their purple patches and then drift off for a few seasons. You know, by drift off, I mean finishing fifth and fourth, and not like winning the Champions League. But yeah, you're right. It does feel a bit different for them, doesn't it? It does. I mean, it's working at the moment. It'll work next season, I reckon. But as you say, that doesn't feel like the.
Do you think at all though? Like, I'm just wondering because. This that they've been, not only is it be they must be physically exhausted from this season, the emotional upheaval of what they've done this year, I do wonder how much that will carry on, because I think the year after they won the Premier League the last time, they had a dud season, didn't they, where they only just scraped into the top four.
I wonder, because that was their kind of first win in ages. I wouldn't, if they won it this season, I don't think they will, but if they won it this season, I don't think they'd have the same sort of emotional come down next season. I think that they'd sort of be a bit more used to it, and it'd be less of a kind of emotional drain on them. But also, I mean, if they do win quadruple, which again, I don't think they do. I don't think they win anything else this season.
Quadruple. You imagine it forever and always. Shah was saying, you know, if Spurs like went on and won like the league, or even if we won the double, you imagine that 24-25 season, Tottenham Hotspur win the double. Yeah. You wouldn't have got triple, have you? You know, every single person's achievement forever and always.
Yeah. That's why I can't bear the idea of it. I'm so glad that they actually won the FA Cup, because it would have been so funny if they all this talk of quadruple, they even ended up with just the League Cup, which we, you know,
exactly.
We'd kill for. But
we'd all be like hanging off lampposts, fucking. Yeah. You know what I mean, why isn't Where's Levy going doing on? An open top bus? You know?
I'm here. Where are they? up the high road. Yeah. Sorry, I've lost my train of thought. What were you saying?
I don't know. I was just
thinking about the lamppost.
Just about Liverpool losing their their momentum. But I don't know, mate. It's just it's a very weird time. I don't. You know, this is just a sort of random little pod I'm doing at the end of the week, because I was just like, I just don't know how I feel about all this. I've had so much nervous energy ever since the Arsenal game. I've just been thinking, fucking. How long do we have to wait till bloody Sunday? Yeah. Like, what am I supposed to do? And I've barely been able to concentrate all week. And I mean, I think the one thing I will say is it's good to, as much as it's, you know, probably obtrusive to, you know, actually having a life, it's good to sort of feel a bit alive with Tottenham again, isn't it? Like, to feel like there's something there again.
Absolutely. Like, what's the point of doing it otherwise?
Yeah, under...
Football, I mean, not life.
Well, yeah, bit of both.
but yeah, like that's what I'm saying, and that's why I kind of between the Arsenal game and the Burnley game, I was just sort of basking in the result. And you know, I think had we smashed Burnley to bits, then it would be a foregone conclusion that we were beaten. I don't think anyone, even in the most kind of negative spiral Spurs fans' minds, there would be anything more than a flicker of doubt that we were going to beat Norwich. But because that game was really tough, and, you know, understandably so, I mean, it was never going to be a cakewalk given how, you know, recent we played Arsenal, whatever. But that was such a nervy game. So I think that that has kind of created a little more doubt than there should be from beating Norwich, who, or again, not losing to Norwich, who, again, by all accounts, have been absolutely terrible.
What do you want to see from the game, mate? Do you want to see, like, do you just want to see us win, or are you getting into the whole, like, because there's a lot of people being like, oh, it'd be lovely for Sonny to win the Golden Boot. If we get a penalty, would you let him take it? I'm like, no, I fucking wouldn't. Like, I love
Honestly,
Son, but give it to Harry Kane, the best fucking penalty taker probably ever. Like,
I cannot believe people are asking this question. This is what really gets me about football in general, right? And this is the thing, I don't want to reference Arsenal anymore, but under Wenger, what Arsenal would do, they would just score goals. If someone was waiting for a tap-in, they would get the ball and tap it in. They would confirm the result, the 3 points, and then go on and do this, you know, golden boot lark. I don't care if it's 8 own goals or whatever. 3 points. The golden boot stuff, yeah, it'd be fine, but it doesn't matter at all. I don't want to... This is a one fear that I have, and I don't think... This is what I think would be under Pochettino, which I don't think will be under Conte. Everyone looking to play Son in at all points when you've got Emerson Royale in space. I know, you know, that's a bad example, but still, if Emerson Royale can tap it in, or again, this is probably a bad example now.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'd rather, you know what I mean? Yeah. I'd rather try and find Son, to be honest. But...
Yeah. No, Son's on the halfway line past everything. But you know what I mean? It's just that mentality. It's like, no, don't. This is all unnecessary. Just kick it in the net. Kick it in the net as many times as you can. Don't worry about all the other narratives that are going on. And even, you know, I think even Son, I think Son would not be kind of taking shots on at 0-0 when there was, you know, someone in space. Again, depends who it is, but I don't think he'd suddenly turn into this kind of selfish monster, as it were. I think he'd kind of know what's riding on it and know what's more important. Because, and plus, again, us going 2-0 up means we're probably going on to win the game 5-0. So I just want to see us like get into a healthy lead. Then the party stuff can start happening.
I mean, if we get it, you'd fully expect Conte to extend his contract now, wouldn't you?
Without a shadow of a doubt, I would say.
You know, it's got to be a mutual thing, right? He can't just come to the chairman and say, "I want 200 million to spend this summer," when he's on a 1-year contract, can he? I mean, the two must go hand in hand. You'd assume, right?
Yeah, and I don't. Again, weirdly, had we not had a chance at finishing fourth at this point, I think he would be staying. But as you said, us now being faced with a glorious opportunity to do so, for us to blow it, I just think that his brain couldn't handle that. So, but yeah, I mean, again, this is all kind of a moot point, because I really just think it is pretty much a foregone conclusion now. And I know people's hearts will, you know, jump when I say that, but come on.
Oh, mate, it's going to be... I'm getting more nervous talking about it now, but we shouldn't be. It's fucking Norwich. They are.
It is. Yeah.
They are easily the worst team in the league. Easily.
Yeah. Definitely. And they really love us for giving them Oliver Skip, by the way. Not that the kind of, you know, the players or the management care about this stuff, but Norwich do have an affection for us. So I don't expect a white hot atmosphere of trying to, like, you know, knock us off our perch at Carrow Road. Well, that was a nice bird analogy, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. Yes, the battle of the birds.
Bird on ball.
Yeah. I will never, ever be able to trust this football club ever again if they fuck it up on this one, mate.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the flip side. If they do mess it up from here, and I'm like, okay, now this is... Come on now. I know we talk about this, you know, this being a cursed club, but this is ridiculous amount of evidence suggests that we are. But again, all a moot point, Jack.
It is, because I think like I say, and it's not just like a rational brain thing. I think my heart and my head says that We've got we just got some amazing players who have really, you can't, I don't think you can undermine what the players have done these past few weeks. I mean, obviously a lot of this is on Conte. Great, he's breathed life back into the squad or whatever, and we've signed in Bentancur and Kulusevski, two integral parts of what's manifested in the tail end of this season. But, you know, I think the players themselves deserve, they deserve our respect, really. You know, I think I'm still seeing a bit of this whole kind of back him, you know, look at what he can do with this useless bunch. I mean, I don't think that's fair. I don't think they are. I don't think that's fair.
And I think that the fact that they're so maligned is because, you know, Pochettino's methods started to not kind of work. And a lot of these kind of players weren't actually here under Pochettino, or certainly weren't kind of the mainstays they are now. They haven't been coached properly. Like, Mourinho didn't coach properly, did he? He was like, I'm not going to tell my players how to play football. It's like, I'm pretty sure that's your fucking job, mate, isn't it?
No, apparently, but he said they could just sort out their own fitness. That wasn't his job to teach athletes how to stay fit. What?
This is not how it is. The margins are too fine to kind of just do that. And, you know, Conte, I don't think he's done anything actually necessarily that outlandish. He's just had time with the players, and we've seen it from, you know, having a week to prepare for a game. Players just know instinctively what to do, and all that is pass to your teammate, really, isn't it?
Well, it seemed like we were struggling to even do that at points, weren't we?
That's what I mean. It's like, it's because you get the ball and you know that someone's going to either be here or here. So, you know, it takes the kind of that moment's uncertainty out of things, and that's what I mean by, I mean, obviously it's needed, and that's still a skill to kind of get that across and drill it into players and get them all on side. But that's all that's really happened.
I just think, you know, nicely done to the lads, nicely done to Conte for whatever, sort of getting past that initial stage of, you know, whatever, his ego, his emotion, his whatever it was. He seems to have just screwed his head on, got into it, as do the players. And, you know, I think they, you know, deserve our respect. And, yeah, I think we're going to do it. I think we are going to do it. And it's only the nerves are there because you think about the possibility, don't you? That's all that it is. It's the possibility of you, every single gooner, you know, sending you a WhatsApp message, and you know, we've all been there, right? We know how this goes, but really, just focus on the fact that this is a team, this is a group of players that have literally dragged themselves up. You know, like we were looking at finishing below like fucking Wolves and teams like that. A few Wolves and West Ham. And now look how far... We're 10 points clear of Manchester United.
Yeah, you know? I was going to say, and shit teams like Man United, we're going to finish above us.
When, as a Tottenham fan, did you think you would be able to say that consistently? We consistently finish above Manchester United. It's insane. What's it happened insane, to this club? Yeah. This is it. Just, you know, maybe this is it. We've been building and building and building, getting to this point, becoming the club that we've always sort of dreamed of being, this sleeping giant, all that bullshit we always used to say to comfort ourselves in the fucking 90s and noughties. But we're finally there. We've finally arrived. We've got a massive fucking stadium. We've got a world-class manager. We've got a chairman that is seemingly now given his own head a wobble, to be fair to Levy. Like, it's just kind of taken a step back, farmed it out to the people that know best. And, you know, it seems to be working so far. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see. But...
Yeah.
Oh, the future's bright, mate. Let's hope so.
Yeah, speak to you on next Monday.
Ah!
Only joking. It's gonna be totally fine. Like if we were playing, if we played like yesterday, then I'd be a bit more like, I mean, we're not gonna be fit. We've had a week to prepare. It's gonna be completely fine.
What is it, Mark? What is it, Kermode always says? Everything will be all right in the end, and if it's not all right, it's not the end.
I don't buy that in this case, though, to be honest. Yeah, that doesn't ring true. If it's not all right, then it absolutely is the end.
Yeah, if it's not all right, then it's Tottenham Hotspur.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.